Turn in your Bibles, please, to Gospel of John, chapter 1. We have a potato chip bag illustration. This will be used in a few minutes. And then we have a drawing that we want to share. And there are people that have problems in life, and you can't tell that when we come together and sit here and worship. But sometimes the problems that people have are at home. Home problems. They're rooted in myself, but they might be manifested in my troubles at home. What is really on my mind is domestic violence. Reason, because of being a pastor, I know about it a little bit in principle, and also reading a little bit about it. So that is in the back of my mind, and we'll bring it out in the message this morning. But first of all, we need to be built up in our personal lives and understand what God has done for us. We use the potato chip bag for illustration. And I could do it now. Okay, here's the bag. Have you ever spent any time looking at these bags, this packaging? Isn't it tough stuff? Huh? Have you ever gotten hurt trying to open a package? I heard that on Christmas Day, the emergency rooms are full of people who've gotten hurt opening Christmas packages. Yeah. How about it? Can anybody identify? I mean, there are tough packaging, okay? There is. Okay. But this is not hazardous to your health, opening it. However, there's a paradox here. Because it is so tough, and I mean, this is like, wow. But, you know, on the other hand, you know how easy it is. What do you do if you want to really? One small, little, just the little opening and... You know, this is so tough, but look at how easy that is, huh? So I think in a way, and this is for you to meditate on and think about, is life something like this? It's so hard, problems are so difficult, it's almost, you could say, it's impossible. My habits, my sins, myself, my marriage, making a living, it's so tough. And then in this church and many others like it, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us from this book, we learn something else. And that is, it's actually not that hard. Huh? It isn't that hard. What's the problem with us? Well, Christ is the answer. Christ God's mind, the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't want to, you know, we have many other ideas in our way, and we don't want to do it that way. So this is how life is. The way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13:15. But Jesus said, I am the way. I want to bring out something in our message this morning, and pray with me that it would be Holy Spirit anointed. Father, we pray that this would help us and speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, a few verses from John 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word knows. The Word knows everything. The Word is God. The Word is the answer. The Word, the Word knows what this is and how to do it. The Word of God is the answer for every man's life. Doesn't matter who we are. But we do have other gods before us. And we have a lot of self-interest and a lot of different ways of looking at things. So we'll bring some of that out. Now look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We could say, in a way, using this illustration, we saw him, like say to us, we saw him live, and we heard him speak, and we understood that he actually was saying to us, like, it's not that hard, right? We saw that. Nobody could ever speak to us or show us what it is, how the living God fits in this life. You know, how the living God is the answer for me, always. So we beheld his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. Okay. Wow. All right, so has anybody ever been in a house where the head of the house was domineering, manipulative, maybe emotional, maybe even violence? Has anybody here ever lived in a place where it was in your heart, you're crying out, help me, God, help me. This is wrong. Maybe sex, children molested would be a horrifying picture. But a child molested, and the child doesn't know, confused, hurt, damaged, troubled, incredibly victimized by this abuse. Okay? Can you imagine? And the man, yeah, is getting away with it. It's in a house. I want to draw a picture of that for you. Let's put here First, the domineering person, a couple other people, and he has control. And there can be different expressions. Child molestation is one expression, but let's say it isn't that. It's just dad gets very angry and he throws things and yells, and that's how he controls the world that I live in. So here's a room. I want to make a room there. He has it like this. This is where he lives, and it's he needs help. That person right here, he needs help. But sometimes he just stays away. He doesn't want to be exposed. He controls it by fear, perhaps. And he doesn't want exposure. He stays away from people on any intimate and personal level. Like, he's kind. He might be very shiny and very clean and very respectable. But there's something really wrong in the room. I don't want to confuse you, but for your own mind and your own thought, this room can be bigger than a room. It can be like it can be a community where there's somebody that's in charge, and it's not right. It's just not right. It can be a state of Maryland, region. It can be the country. It could be Hitler's Germany, where he is ruling ruthlessly and is a murderer and is in control. And the people are in a way, they're victimized. We could say this happens everywhere. It's not uncommon. And in the book of Isaiah, the prophet said, this is like Israel. We have a problem in Israel, because this is happening in Israel. And it's happening on a level with many people. And you know what it is? And it's happening in the United States of America. What is happening in the heart of people is that they have other gods before them. They are believing lies. And in our culture, it's being propagated and promoted by movies and at universities and ideologies, relativism. You can do as you please. I have a testimony from a Psychology Today magazine when a young woman who was profiled years ago told her psychiatrist that she was exhausted by her lifestyle. An endless round of parties, drugs, sex, and alcohol. The psychiatrist said, "Why don't you stop?" And she was astonished. She sat up. "You mean I don't have to do what I want to do?" Wait a minute, let's think of that. I don't have to do what I want to do. I want to do it, but I don't have to do it. There's something more than pleasure and living for myself. Is there something more than me living as I want? Couldn't I live for a mission or for a purpose that's higher than myself? If I don't have any, and this is a problem in our country, is that Americans are wanting a mission. We want something more than what's in this room. I would like somebody to come into the room and tell me and speak to me that I'm being pushed around, bossed, victimized, manipulated, and controlled by that which is not right. and I suffer. I am suffering because you can't get into that room. And we'll explain that in a minute. Turn now to the main text is Isaiah 59. I'm glad if you can follow the message. I want the Spirit to speak to us. It's not a long message, but it's a profound one for us. Okay, Isaiah 59, and I think we can look at verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us. Now, I want you to think of judgment this way. There's a home, and there's a man there, and it's like just not right. However you want to say it, it's just not right. And there's a little 9-year-old boy there in the house. And he, in his heart, he is saying something in his heart, like, it's not right. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Where is judgment? Where is judgment? Meaning, could somebody come in here and help us? Where is the message, the right? He doesn't, of course, he doesn't have these words. But do you understand what we're saying? Read it with me, please. 9. Therefore, judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall, like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. Like, we can't find, it's kind of like, life's got to be better than this. Life's got to be better. And we grope for the wall, because, like, it's so dark. It's so dark in this picture. Where is the right thing? You know, how can I find it? You know? Okay. Now skip down to it's 14 and 15. Judgment is turned away backward. So in the picture, what I want to do, what we're going to do is draw how you can't get in the room. Okay, judgment is turning back. So we could say it this way. Here's a door here to get in, and there's judgment. Should go in, but goes backwards. Like, do you know that in that house there's like violence and oppression and there's abuse? Do you know that? And judgment is saying, No, I can't get involved. I can't do that, no. So judgment turns around backward. Then it goes to the next word, verse 14. It says, and justice stands afar off. So back, it's put way in the background here, a little person, because of the distance. Justice is way away. Truth is fallen in the streets. So let's put truth laying down here. Here's a truth, like a dead man in the street. Where's truth? He's fallen in the street. What? Where's the truth? Where's the freedom? Where is the answer for our problem? Hey, maybe another way of thinking, a woman is in a home and the man is loud, boisterous, accusing, shouting, yelling, violent every once in a while. And that's how he controls the environment. But he doesn't realize that in the hearts of the people, they're saying these kind of prayers. And actually, this is God in heaven saying this. Where is truth? It's fallen in the street. The people are afraid. Look at the next part. It says, inequity cannot enter. So let's put equity at the door here. Inequity, you'd like to get in, but the door is locked. Cannot get in for whatever reason. Truth fails, verse 15. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. If somebody tried to escape from the house, they go like this to get out, they're targeted. They are a prey. They got out. Now I'm a target. I got out. Okay? Amazing, isn't it? Like, look at that picture. Did you say, Pastor, did I come to church to hear this kind of? I need to be built up and edified. I don't know what it is that you're. I'd like to say like a few things that could help all of us regarding this. This is sad. This is wrong. This is not the way. There's something wrong here. And this is how it is. And God is saying this is how Israel is. And this, we could say, is how the United States is going. That, you know, like it, with this whole thing about we can have all different kinds of gods and do many different things and believe whatever. But if truth, it comes in and changes us, then we will have a different house. We will have a house that wisdom builds. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom has built her house. And it's a different place. So... often, people that are violent at home, and they intimidate and manipulate their victims. Violence is frightening. It's a tool of control. You'll sometimes find it hard to get the facts even from the violated. Perhaps she, the victim, wants to preserve the present moments of peace, or fears that her honesty will lead to more abuse later. She may even have been threatened that if you tell, then the victim may be deeply ashamed that the family has these problems and may not want to make the depths of evil known. All this adds up to the fact that you may have to overcome a conspiracy of silence in the family that serves to protect the evildoer. In all these ways and more, domestic abuse is a secret sin. You must be prepared to drag it into the light. Maybe you can follow this. I think so. It's a secret what goes on. And we don't want to bring it out, or we don't want to look for help, or we don't want the church to get involved, or we don't want anybody to be ashamed or this to be made known to anyone. Well, I want to say something about it. Jesus Christ loves the prisoner. He loves the abused and the victims. He loves people. He loves the people that are in this place. And he wants to do something about it. In the ministry, it's this word of God that changes us and helps us. We do not go into people's homes and interfere with their privacy. on the other hand, when people are looking for help, and the guy here who's in the middle of it, he needs help. He needs, listen, grace and truth. Look at it. His life is like this. Life is hard. And you know why? Because of him. He hasn't found the way. Life is hard and he can't figure it out. And why don't people honor me? He could say. He could say to the children, you must honor me. Or say to his wife, why don't you love me? And all these kind of statements. Because he hasn't learned another way of life. It's easy. I mean, really. I mean, let me read this to you. This is from a counseling booklet by Ed Welsh, David Pullison, and a man by the name of Tripp. And it goes this way. Violent people need Christ. The drift of sin is always away from the living Christ. That is a heart problem that needs daily attention. Jesus, who died for sinners, is gracious, and grace is effective. Aim as a counselor for a fundamental restructuring of heart and lifestyle. But let's say that as a believer. If this is me as a believer in my home, and there's really not the peace and the love and the quietness and the freedom, then I just need to accept the fact that I need Jesus in my life on a daily basis. A restructuring in my heart. I need the Holy Spirit to be my counselor and guide me, and I will bring the things into the light of what God is saying. Because violence is, it's expressed here, but long before the violence, there's a way of thinking back here. And this is where God speaks to us. And he says, listen, I can restructure your heart. I can teach you. I can show you. So your life can change. So this is what he says. And by the way, I read about the hedonism of the young woman who was living as she wanted. And she was amazed. You mean I don't have to live like this way, there's something more? Yeah, get out of your small world. But listen, there's a deception. We say, we've got iPhones, you know. We know a lot. We can Google whatever. We can find a... Listen, we got movies. When I get depressed, I can just go get a movie. I can go to my phone. I can get a movie. And I got a pizza delivery truck that I can call, and I get a pizza, I got a movie, and I got a couch. And man, I got, woo-hoo-hoo, I got a mate. Okay, wait a minute. What do I got? Everything I said is not able to understand what life is. None of those things knows about this, how this works like this. When I have so little, but I am so happy. When life is not going my way, but life is like, I have found Christ in my life. I have found Jesus in my life. What's wrong with a pizza? Nothing. I don't care about that or a movie. But I am, if that's the answer for your life, if that's all you got, or a boyfriend, or a canoe, or by the way, I went windsurfing Monday, last Monday, 2 miles out off Rocky Point in the sunshine, and I was sitting on my board, and tide was coming in, and I could taste the water. There was salt in the water, right from the, you know, the ocean. All the way up here, I'm in the sun, on my board, the waves, the birds, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I love it. It's so awesome, refreshing. Wow. I love life. I'm not talking about not loving life. I love life. But how did I find it? How did I get this thing where I knew enough, like how the thing goes. And you know, it's easy. Why is it so hard? Because of you and me. Listen, it goes like this. You must expose the heart issues that motivate violence. Listen to them. Craving for power, love, control, comfort, money, respect, pleasure. Those motivate violence. Mm-hmm. About what things is this person willful? The batterer's violence is not about his wife. It is about himself and the flagrant idolatries he brought into the marriage. Violent people play God and so act like the devil rather than serve God. They must repent of these vertical sins that fuel the horizontal sins. Aim to solve the minor versions of the major sins as well as the major outbreaks. A judgmental attitude, grumbling, irritability, bickering, and arguing usually precede violence and express identical themes of the heart. People learn to repent of grumbling, and thus learn both gratitude and contentment in Christ, will rarely need to repent of assault and battery. That's amazing. Like, if the minute I'm grumbling, there, hold it, right there, that's stop that right there. Wait a minute. You're grumbling, you're irritable, you're complaining, you're like a child. Like, come on, grow up in the Lord. And I'm saying, of course, you know. Like, there's another way. This is, and so go to our picture here. Jesus wants to come into this mess. And Jesus is a lot bigger than this house. And Jesus wants to come in there and say, anybody want to listen to me? I will show you how to open up the potato chip bag and shred it. It's so easy. Anybody want to know? I made the bag. I know how it works. Anybody want to know about this life? I'm the answer. But if you go your way, it's hard. But I can help you. I can take anybody in this world who has any kind of problem in any of these areas that I'm talking about. Jesus says, I can take anybody and restructure their soul so that they learn how to live and find a fellowship with God in their presence. And when God comes into the presence, do you know what? Judgment comes in. Justice does not stand far away, but he is coming into the picture. Truth gets up off the street, and he comes in, and you find a fellowship where you say, wow, the little boy, 9-year-old boy, is saying, I'm so happy my family is back together. I'm glad that this is working. God, thank you. I'm not saying it's hard. This is only a message. And I could say it might take counseling after, you know, understanding, but it can happen. Anybody here, any one of us, we can learn how to live and be a spirit-filled, wise servant with a mission. The young lady who said, you know, I thought, like, I go from party to party and I'm exhausted. Could anybody take me off of this merry-go-round? I'm a gerbil on a wheel. Anybody, is there any deliverance anywhere? We're saying Jesus is your deliverer. Yes, Jesus will take you off the wheel. and have you sit down and love you and care for you. Somebody who lives in constant fear. Is there anybody that has another message other than fear? I just turn on the news. I'm afraid of this or afraid of that. Is there anybody who can get me out of this? And we say, yeah, like Christ restructures your soul. And he will say, death, where's your victory? Grave. Death, where's your sting? Grave. Where's your victory? I'm not saying I wouldn't be afraid. I am saying that Jesus is the answer for all my fears. I'm not saying I'm any different than anybody, but I am saying that Jesus is the way, and many avoid him. And actually, the tyrants are glad he's not around. They want him to be fallen in the street. They want him to be way back. And I want to control my little world as long as I got breath. My world is mine. And as I'm controlling it, I'm losing it. I've lost the hearts of the people. I've lost love. I've lost what I was trying to protect, even my own life. I lost it. And well, here's a word of advice. Lose it today. Give it up. Bring it in the light. Lose your life to Jesus. And love him. Let him love you. And be free and give others freedom. And you know, when you give others freedom and wisdom and judgment in the good sense of the word, and justice, when people find a world like that, they are drawn to it. They say, could I be part of that? I want to walk in that. And God said, you are baptized into it. You are my children. We are baptized into the body. And you know, it's all been like I've been felt isolated from it on the outside. And I see others in it loving and rejoicing. And in my heart, I'm a little bit jealous. They have such a good time. I'm having a miserable time in my apartment, depressed for 3 weeks and upset about my Coca-Cola can, tipped over. And something silly, and I'm upset about this and that. And the Lord is saying, come on, you're going to make your miserable world will be, you're going to catch somebody in your misery and you're going to make them as miserable as you are. And so come on in. There's a party. Party that God has made. A party of love. Party of fellowship, party of truth. Come on in and enjoy that. And then you will be a minister, minister of grace, minister of wisdom, minister of love. And when David as a young man was running from Saul, because actually this picture was like King Saul. He was this way as a tyrant, insecure tyrant. And David wasn't allowed in his company. And David had to run, but David went into a cave. And he was the other way, not a tyrant, but a servant. And then 400 men came to him who were in debt and in distress. And what's the other word? Discouraged, discontented. There's three D's. In debt, yeah. And they came to the cave of Adullam, and they were with David, and David ministered to them. And Jesus is the son of David, and he has a ministry to us because we have found a new way, a new kind of leader, one that is not ruling by his flesh, but someone that is manifesting God. And we're learning God. God's giving us freedom, and God is giving us a future, and God is giving us love, and God is encouraging us. And even if we fail, he is forgiving us because he is grace and truth, and we're growing up in him and become like him. And then people want to be with us because it isn't us. It's God's nature manifested with us in his kingdom. It's the best place to be. And it's where we learn it. And if we can learn it here in the body, then we can take it home and bring body life home with us and have it in our family. When we learn love in Christ and in the church, then we can learn it at home. May I say the lastly, I know that some marriages in our church are under amazing pressure and duress and stress and collapse, and it seems impossible. Look at it seems impossible. It can't work. It just can't. I've tried. It can't work. And I don't know. Everything about it. I don't know all cases. I don't know. But I want to say, I don't know about this, but I want to say, maybe God could do something. God could do something. Maybe God could just come, you know, that God could come in and be bigger than the whole marriage. And I take marriage very seriously. I do. I take it very seriously. But I want to also say something just in the context. You know, it's not my whole life. My whole life is bigger than my marriage. My marriage. It's like, wait a minute. What about God? Marriage is only in this lifetime. But we're going to live forever. What about the God that made the universe? God that made my soul? What about God? Solve my marriage problem. It's like, give it up. Like, learn another way. Like, there's an easier way. It might be your marriage is somehow an idol. Somehow there's something not right in your thinking about it. Let God restructure your life to be a spirit-filled person, and then you are able to give grace and truth. And that's what every marriage needs. Marriage doesn't need my concept of marriage to control my marriage. Marriage needs me living like the tall man in that picture, where Christ comes into the marriage and he sees and knows something bigger than marriage. I know my Father. My Father, I know who God is. I am a worshiper of God. And without that, there are a lot of problems. Come on, look at the thing. There's an amazing amount of trouble that you cannot solve. Come on. My job, my whatever, my health, my marriage, my kids and everything. It's like virtually like, whoa, I cannot. Why doesn't this? You know? Why can't I fix it? Or why can't I? It's like, I don't know. Maybe there's something else that you got to look at. Because it's really actually easy. Right? It's Jesus in this life. And let me finish with this one. I've done that a few times, but listen. It's like everything out there is saying Jesus is not enough. God is not enough. This book is not enough. The church, they're never pointing to this amazing answer. But we are walking that little bunny trail off of 95. You know Route 95, of course. Millions of cars. The way to destruction is broad, and many go. But on your way home, on 95, pull to the side, get out of the car, and look for a little bunny trail down off the road. A very narrow little bunny trail. And God will say, that's my way. My way is not your way. Everybody's talking, doing the whole air power, moving, but careful with that. Careful with that. Be different. Be different. Find the difference. find God, find Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, and walk with him. And the way is narrow, few there be that find it, but I want to say, and I love it, and I believe that many of us here, we have found the way. We have found this whole paradox that's so tough for people, but for somehow, for us, it's amazing. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this is not just a message on a Sunday morning. This is serious, heart to heart. Maybe someone hearing, listening, understands they are the person that we're talking to. Maybe all of us, of course, somehow, but maybe this is could be the change. Introducing the change in my life, something extraordinarily beautiful in my heart. Minister to us where we are at, Lord, and lead us in the reality of your Son, restructuring our soul in doctrine, building us up in the faith, giving us new ears to hear, and dragging into the light all the stuff that is messed up so much. And bringing it into the light and saying, here I am. And welcoming judgment into the house and justice and equity and truth. And come on in. Come on in. Let's bring it out in the open and deal with it. And Lord, do this in our hearts and in our way of life. And then anyone here who is not a believer, this is the beginning of your new life by believing in Jesus. You can do that anywhere, anytime, on the street, in your bedroom, anywhere, but do it with all your, open your heart to God and confess and say, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I need you, Christ, in my life. Save me. I may not see it, recognize it, feel it, in one sense, but I'm going to believe it based on the Bible. I am a child of God by faith in Christ, born again, a child of God, a new creation in him, born of the Spirit, believing in Christ personally. Anyone here saying that prayer in those terms, in that spirit, in that faith, just raise your hand, please. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Here in the auditorium to be born again of the Spirit. And then, thank you, there's a hand over here. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. Anyone? Anyone? Yes to the Lord. Yes. God bless you. If you raise your hand or you didn't raise your hand, but you said the prayer, then I want to encourage you. You're a child of God. Walk by faith in him. God is your Father. He will answer your prayers, lead you and guide you. Repent, relieve your sin in the trash can where it belongs, and go on in faith, walk by faith in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all stand, please?